This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us...
Muriel Ellett.
Ivan Ellett.
David Beer.
David Bertram.
Margaret Beer.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Radio. This is something in the 1950s. You didn't have television in New Zealand, did you?
We did not, no.
No, we didn't.
Okay. No. So for entertainment, was radio the main form of entertainment in the home?
Radio would have been.
We certainly got always listened to the news for news broadcasts on the radio.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
weather.
Okay.
In our household, even us as the kids listened to Aunt Daisy. That was a given. And of course, our children, as children, we all had our children's hour, had to be there. Superman and what's the one with the horse and the
Tonto?
Lone Ranger on the radio.
Yes, and of course, also we used to go down to the theatre, and the Lone Ranger was a serial at the movies.
So you were, but it would have been different people doing it on the radio. Yeah. So how do they have a program like the Lone Ranger on the radio?
All the sounds and everything, the horses.
Yeah, coconut shells, was it?
Had to be there at the time because they always left you at the end of each series on a high.
The cliffhanger for
the lady who was tied to the railway line.
Okay. So this was an after school thing for children?
Out of school time, yes.
Yeah, okay. And that was something that everyone followed, or?
Unfortunately, in Tokoroa, getting commercial stations was difficult because we had a very poor radio reception.
Here in Palmerston North, the main station that we listened to was 2ZA, and every weekday morning at 9 o'clock, Garners had a half-hour session.
Garners
were a furnishings.
Made Broadway boom.
Garners made Broadway boom.
Okay.
And during Garners session in the morning, I think it was during that program that the shopping reporter actually took part. So the shopping reporters, and the last one I remember was Audrey Green. They would go around the shops, and if the shops wanted advertising put on the radio, they did it in the morning sessions.
You mean that they bought advertising, or
the
they got Audrey Green or whoever to say, I'm here, and they've got this?
Yes, they paid for that privilege. Also, we had request sessions where you could write into the radio and ask for a certain song to be played. Also, the hit parades once a week, and I think they were Leavers hit parades, weren't they? Leavers
they
used to make the washing powders.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The Leaver hit parade.
Yes. They'd subsidise a bit like that.
You voted for your favourite record for the week, and they went from 1 to 10. And so all depends on the votes, whether your number one stayed at number one or went down.
So people sort of, they wrote it?
You had to have it in by the Friday, the day before.
So this was all just the Palmerston North
top 10? No, this was
this
was New Zealand-wide, the Leaver Hit Parade.
And so people would write in to them?
Yes.
I have an idea Selwyn Toogood was on the Leaver
Hit Parade. He may have been... that was before he was on.
Before on
It's
Ted.
In the Bag, because that was always
that was
on
a radio
television
program too. in the bag was a radio thing.
It was on television.
Yeah, it was on later, but
even in Britain, I think a lot of things started on the radio, then went on to television.
So there was also, and also on the radio on a Saturday, here in Palmerston North, anybody who was getting married, sometimes their bridesmaids or that would ring up the radio station and say what church it was and what time and who the people were.
So you could get a free meal.
No. So teenage girls or older or girls that were pre-married, you'd go round all the churches during the day and have a look at the weddings as they came out of the church. And you'd say, I like that dress, or I don't like that dress. So that was on a Saturday morning that came over, so you knew how many weddings were for the day and those people.
So it's a bit like garage sales now, you sort of list around the
You'd know that after about half an hour, if they were getting married at four, they'd be coming out about 20 past to half past four. So you'd,
So it's sort of like wedding groupies.
Yeah, that's right.
But do you remember that after the Garners, was it half an hour or an hour?
I think it was 9 to 9:30.
Because after that came on the Courier serials,
like Dr. Paul.
Right, Dr. Paul.
Porsche Faces Live.
Yes. Yeah.
So what was Dr. Paul?
It was just a radio serial.
Was he actually a doctor?
I've no idea. I can't remember. Because if you were at school, the only time you could listen to those was if you were homesick.
That's right. Jesus.
Yeah. It was the woman who listened to us.
Oh, okay.
And I think
most women were in the house, or that's they weren't working.
I think
you can't say that. They were working at home.
Yes,
doing
absolutely.
Things around that.
And I think it was sort of a romance with a medical background.
So it's like some of the hospital soaps where the main focus is on who's pairing off with whom rather than treating
patients. Yes,
but very mild compared to today.
Yeah. And also on a Sunday at 5 o'clock, all the churches in town had choirs, and every Sunday at 5 o'clock, one of the choirs would go and have a half an hour or quarter of an hour at a recording studio for 2ZA, and it was down George Street, the recording studio, because I can remember going there because I sang in St David's Choir, and we'd go down and it would be live recording.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh, you mean live broadcast?
Live broadcast. Yes. And also, people would also write and put over the radio short stories that they'd written themselves. And I can't remember whether that was daytime or nighttime, but that was always really interesting too.
Well, was a lot of this local then? So the local, local radio for the local community, local. And people would tend to listen to the local radio rather than.
ZA was the radio station for us here, wasn't it?
I had a crystal set. And
which is, I know what they are.
You had to, and I had a wire wove on the bed, and I connected that up, and that was the aerial.
Ah, so you mean your under the suspension for the bed was a weave of metal?
Yeah.
And you use that as a radio aerial?
That's right. Yep. And there was, at the time, where people could write in and say, these are the music and songs that I like best.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. And it's a half-hour show, and they said, this program is what David Beer likes most, and it was a half-hour, and of course I listened to it on my crystal set. And that was, and you had people from all sorts of livelihoods and different places doing it. I must have been a Wellington radio station.
If they had ways of testing the audience, they could have a competition whose list gets the most, most listeners.
When I stayed with my grandmother in Hamilton, at 10 o'clock there was a religious program on the radio, and for a quarter of an hour. And
every day?
Yes, every day. Okay. And it would be a hymn and a Bible reading and a comment by the minister who was taking up. And a prayer.
Yeah.
Also, radio was used a lot, for instance, on Christmas Eve, the Tangiwai disaster.
Yeah.
So on Christmas Day, most unusually, because you wouldn't have the radio going on Christmas Day,
yeah.
But I can remember being at my grandmother's, and it was a horrible cold Christmas Day. We had the fire going, and the radio was going all day because we were getting
updates
from the Tangiwai disaster, because, of course, all of us here knew people that were supposed to be on the train, or that we didn't know whether they'd caught it. And they started giving names out later in the day, and I think most New Zealanders just huddled around the radio that Christmas Day listening, because it was so horrific and horrible.
Yeah.
And so good things and bad things, the radio was the place you heard about them.
Yeah.
I think the morning series you mentioned were mainly for women. In the evening were the crime serials. And they were sort of, I can remember one, there was Randy Stone, who covered the night beat.
That's right.
I don't actually remember what it was, but it was a crime program. He was a news reporter, I think.
Yeah. So it was fact rather than a...
No.
A drama series.
I think it was a drama series, but each program was itself. It wasn't a continuous serial.
Yeah, that's it. You always solve the crime within the...
Yes, within an hour or whatever it was. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But the other thing none of you have mentioned is the London News used to come across 2YA, I think it was 6 o'clock at night, and you heard the waves, at least I thought they were the waves of it coming all the way from 12,000 miles away. And with radio reception wasn't always the best with that. I don't know where was it? Did you, any of you know where it was centred in New Zealand?
They received? I remember listening to it, yes.
I think it was on 2YA.
Well, that would be Wellington.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I know with things like telecom, some stuff would come by cable and then be broadcast, but otherwise...
But it was a daily thing, you know.
Yes.
It was up to date, I should say, yes. Mm. Because there were the 4 YA stations, 1, 2, 3 and 4, and then there were the local station like 2ZA for Palmerston. On the news was 2XA, which, by the way, actually closed down for 4 hours every day early on. It was only didn't broadcast from 1 until 5 or something. That was Wanganui.
At night, or in the afternoon.
You know, they just didn't broadcast between 1 and 5.
1 and 5 at night. 1 in the morning and 5 in the morning.
No. 1 and 5 in the afternoon.
In the afternoon?
Yeah.
They never broadcast during the night, did they?
I don't know.
Because when TV first started, you had the test pattern for several hours every day.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And you had, there was the Good Night Kiwi.
That was on
TV.
Yeah.
Another thing that came over regularly on the radio for people that were interested in the horse racing, that was always on the radio every Saturday or whenever they were racing too, I think.
Yes, it was.
Oh, and rugby matches were always on the radio.
They were.
And you had to be very quiet so that your father could listen to it.
Yeah. I did hear someone talking about early reporting on cricket test matches, and they were talking about one from South Africa where someone was just through the Morse code or whatever, through the telegraph, giving a very brief, sort of so-and-so bowled no score, or so-and-so bowled 2 runs. And they said, so they received this, and then they said, and so-and-so bowled, and just build up the whole story around what happened.
Yes.
Totally fictional, but consistent.
We were particularly interested because my Uncle Eric, he played for New Zealand in the cricket. He was a left-arm spin bowler, and he went to South Africa to play there. And of course we all listened to the reports. They lost that match, cause I think they didn't do very well. Mostly we were beaten by South Africa.
There were also lots of children's stories. I can't remember whether they were only... I think they were at the weekend...
Okay.
Saturday, Sunday morning, I seem to remember.
Yep.
our children even getting up early to listen to the Sunday morning stories for children.
So can I get the balance here? You're saying there's very strong local radio and people spent a lot of time listening to the local radio rather than national?
That depended on where you lived.
Yeah.
Okay. Because in some areas there were no local radio stations. Okay. Yeah. Like Tokoroa didn't have one.
Yeah.
And Hamilton would have been the nearest, and we didn't get the reception from there, so we tended to have a national program.
And what about news? Did you have an hourly news bulletin? Or
I can't remember that.
I think they were much the same as they are now, you know, on the hour, sort of a summary of what had happened.
But of course, the news never came through instantaneously like it does now. I think it was probably not very new always when we got it, because it either came by telegraph or by telephone.
Particularly overseas.
Yes.
I mean, now you know instantly if things have happened.
So I suppose you wouldn't recall whether there's some idea that the way these things are put across, things like the way you'd interview a politician now might be far less respectful than 50, 70 years ago.
I think very much so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So.
And then you had shortwave radio too.
That's right.
And you could get overseas stations occasionally.
We didn't at our house.
No, but I remember. I remember the shortwave.
I guess we could get the Voice of the Andes.
Oh, right. Okay.
On our shortwave radio. Yeah.
Oh.
But only at certain times in the evening.
I don't know whether our Columbus radio would have had that. But another thing about most of the radios, ours was a Columbus in a lovely wooden box, and when you turned it on, it had to warm up.
That's right.
Yes.
And
that's
green,
right, the
it had the green light, and so you had to tune in a bit earlier if you wanted to hear your favourite programme, because it took a while to warm up.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, the old valve radios.
I think there was a children's session every afternoon at 5:15, and I think it came from 2YA.
I think you're right. Well,
there was Listen with Mother with Kate Harcourt.
You remember that too?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it was a.
So was it a big part of people's lives?
Radio.
Yeah.
Oh yes, I think so. Probably.
Possibly wasn't with me, because again, Woodville didn't have very good reception.
Radio
didn't pick up very much at all. So,
If you lived on a farm and it had electric fences, it would go click, click, click. If the cows were in the paddocks near the house.
I think as we got older, as teenagers, perhaps we spent our pocket money more on 45s and things like that, and started playing
45 revolution per minute records.
Yes. I remember my sister spent all her pocket money every week. She'd buy one of those every week, and that probably took over from the radio. But we did listen to the radio quite a lot, I think.
They had like a top, as you say, he wrote in.
The Hit Parade.
But they did have music, and they said, what is the top 10?
Yeah.
And you listened, and your favourite tune, where was it in the standings? And I can't remember who decided the standings.
Because you wrote it.
Well, you were saying
this wasn't a write-in one. It was, I mean, you now listen to the radio, and they say, what's the hit tune?
Yeah,
it is currently.
Yeah, a lot's based on sales, I think.
So I think that was what generated that.
Okay. So was there much? I know around that time you had all the country dances and local bands and things, didn't you? So was the most popular music, was it locally generated, or you were following all the American or British?
Oh yeah, whatever was
overseas.
A lot of overseas stuff.
Because rock and roll started in the 50s, and it was all the bop things from overseas that.
What about Maori music? Was there much of that?
Not really, no.
Blues,
very little.
Yeah.
Blue Smoke, blue smoke. Yeah. Well, yeah. That was during the war, during the 40s.
Yeah, because some of that built up later, didn't you? Had Howard Morrison.
Oh, well, yes.
Oh, yes.
But
that was coming much later.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, Howard Morrison started their quartet in the late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it wasn't all Maori music that they sung.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of the instruments were sort of Western. Yeah.
And Peter Poser and all of those.
Oh, yes, yeah. So, I know in Britain, even here later on, a lot of, say, coffee break conversation and so on would be the latest TV episode of a program. Was there a lot of that sort of thing happening with radio? Either in school or
I can't
or at
remember
work.
Really.
I think as children, when we had a serial, just before you sort of discuss what the ending was and what you thought might happen.
Ah, yeah.
And I mean, again, as you get older in a teenage year, it was more the music.
Yeah, yeah.
What music is the in thing and what's not, and
yeah. So it's a big influence on. Now, with television, I could see it influencing people's dress and appearance and so on, but with radio, I don't suppose you'd get the same sort of thing, would you?
You mean how people
dress? People
going out dressed up far more in the 50s than they do now.
Yeah, I
mean, but it wasn't through radio.
Whether you were listening to the radio or not.
It was a cultural expectation.
Yeah. Which you picked up at the movies, the dress.
Oh, people got dressed up to go to the movies.
From the
yeah, but no. What I was saying, what you saw on the movies influenced your dress.
Yeah. So it was, I suppose you'd see some fashion mentioned in the papers, but not much discussion of that.
Bridal
on the
pictures
radio.
In the papers.
Oh, yes, all sorts of things.
Monday's
in the papers.
Bridal pictures.
Yeah.
And then the shopping reporters would tell you where to go and get the latest fashions. And Collinson and Cunningham's window in Broadway, they'd tell you on the radio that their new window display was.
Because those were a big thing.
They were huge.
Specially trained window dresses?
Window dresses, yes.
Yeah.
Window dresses.
That would have applied to garners and places like that too.
They did. They had those things.
So were there any major radio personalities?
Yes.
Aunt Daisy.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you mentioned Aunt Daisy come up two or three times, but what was it about Aunt Daisy? What was she? Why was she?
Her endless enthusiasm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. And she could talk so fast, she had to get everything in a certain space of time.
Okay.
And it wasn't just recipes, it was how you bring your kids up and all those sorts of things.
Her name was Barbara Basham.
Yeah.
Mm.
And she was telling everybody in New Zealand what they should be doing.
Yes, everybody.
And people listened. But she was quite good, though.
She was.
And
she'd do a bit of advertising, too.
And she always started off with, "Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Okay.
Now, what a beautiful day it is." Even if it was pouring down.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that how long did she have? Was it an hour-long programme?
I don't think it was an hour.
Half an hour.
So daily?
She wrote recipe books.
A week daily.
Monday to Friday.
Yes. Okay.
About 10 o'clock, wasn't it? Or half past nine.
It was in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
But I see, and then the problem with radio was it wouldn't have been repeated.
She wrote books. Recipe books and... and books with handy hints in them and things like that.
Now, you were saying about how to bring up your kids. So was she sort of considered a parenting guru at the time?
It was more what to clean your windows or...
clean the bath with.
Okay.
So-and-so's special. Yeah.
And people saw her as something of authority.
Oh, everybody loved Aunt Daisy.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
The other personality, of course, was Winston McCarthy. On radio, who was the rugby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, he had quite a reputation, and nobody seemed to touch him, really, as far as rugby was concerned.
Still went too good, too.
Mm.
And then he went on to be big in TV.
Yeah.
John Maybury.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
With quizzes.
Okay.
Mm. We had Wally Chamberlain here, and he had a beautiful singing voice as well, and he used to sing in the operatic shows here, but he was on radio station here. And then there was somebody else whose name escapes me.
So someone could be a well-known celebrity through their radio...
Oh, well, Audrey Green, who was a shopping reporter, she also had lead parts in the Operatic Society shows as well. And that place down Te Awi Awi Street's named after her, the Audrey Green Centre, isn't it? Down there.
Yeah, sure. Mm.
Oh, okay.
The other thing I remember is that when I was in Woodville, the radio station had a concert party, the 2ZA, that came and put on, at least I remember one quite clearly on my mind, where the staff from 2ZA, whether they had ring-ins or not, I don't know, but they presented a whole concert.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There was nothing like talkback in those days on radio.
Okay, yeah.
You couldn't ring in and talk on the radio, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
I suspect a lot of it would have been pre-recorded.
Yeah. Actually, I think with a lot of the equipment as well, it would be hard to take it out for sort of outside broadcast. Mm.
In Hastings, once a week when I was at primary school, but I'm guessing it would have been 49.50, they had children going after school one day a week, and you took your music along or your poem or whatever you wanted to do, and they chose the program for the day. There was a pianist there if you needed a pianist to sing. And then at, say, 4 o'clock, there was a live concert.
Oh, yeah.
And that went on for half an hour or an hour, I can't remember. So I can remember going along with my piece of sheet music with Bing Crosby's Just a Prayer Away, and I got chosen to sing this song. And it was on the radio live, but of course I never heard it because you couldn't record it. Mum heard it.
Yeah, and even then as well, I think there were a lot of some of the classic programmes, even overseas, where tape was so valuable, they just overwrite the programmes and they just didn't exist anymore.
Right.
So a lot of quality stuff was lost.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programmes can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programmes is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.